Heavenly Lord. We're just so joyful in our hearts for what we are celebrating, Lord, this month. We are really remembering the greatness of your mercy and grace in sending Jesus, to be our Savior and Lord. Jesus, who would live the perfect life on our behalf and die as the perfect sacrifice for the payment of our sins, so that, Lord, we might become acceptable to you, and so that you might adopt us as your sons and daughters, Lord God, who will be with you forever and ever. We thank you, Father God. We bless you. Lord, I pray that you will use this message to help all of us throughout this preaching, all of us to exalt you, to praise you, to worship you, and every now and then, Lord, to thank you and just give glory to you. Please use thy servant, Lord, and may you be the only one who will increase and be magnified in the eyes, in the ears, and the hearts and minds of all who will hear this message. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. As I mentioned to you last week, we looked at Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. And I remember mentioning to you that that is the first message, the first Christmas message that I was going to share for our church last Sunday. And today will be the second message. Again, this is not part two of last week's message, which was entitled, "Who is this Son given to us?" And so we looked at basically not just the fact that unto us a child is born and unto us a son is given. Many times we just get focused on that, and not very often do we meditate on who this Son is, okay? So that is what we looked at. Today we will be looking at another message. But before that, the Lord has reminded me by seeing the face of Brother Leo Chuking there at the back, please support our calendars. Okay? Sino po sa inyo hindi pa ho nakakuha ng calendar? Ha? Baka hindi pa kayo saved. Okay? Joke. Okay, so, but please support our calendar project, no? If all you can afford to buy is just one for yourself, please do that. More than for getting the calendar, do that for giving to the purposes, the beneficiaries of the calendar sales. Okay? So, yun po, no? By the way, I'm sorry, dahil hindi po ito nabanggit. In our Christmas worship night, through our special offering, we were able to raise 181,000 pesos. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. So we will be putting half of that to our building fund, because there are still things that we need to continue to finish slowly, and then the other half goes to our benevolent fund, because we hindi po natatapos yung mga tinutulungan po natin dito sa ating pong church. Okay, so I'm sorry that was an interruption to what I was already saying with regard to the message last week. But today, we will be looking at a message that I had simply entitled, "The Irony of Christmas." If you had already gotten your free copy of our publication, our Christmas issue of The Light, you will see that this is the article that I had written there. Of course, it's much condensed, very much condensed in that article. But you can use that as a sort of reference, especially if you're taking notes for our preaching today. The irony of Christmas. Now, before anything else, I know that I have described this to you and defined this to you in the past, but allow me to do so even more precisely because this is part of the title and really the message for today. And basically, let me start with a question. What is an irony? What does it mean when something is ironic? You've heard this, no? What an irony that that happened. How ironic na ganito ang kanyang ginawa. Okay, the New Oxford American Dictionary says, the expression of one's meaning by using language that normally signifies the opposite. Okay, using language that signifies the opposite. Like, for example, no? Let's say Brother Mervin suddenly got a big bonus at work. No, and let's say he got a bonus of 100,000. No, and then, but he was expecting 150. So nung dumating ang bonus kay Mervin, oh bro, praise God, nakuha mo yung bonus mo. Praise God. Ganun ang sagot niya, di ba? So an irony would be something like when I say, wow, careful, don't go overboard with your gratitude and excitement, ha? Okay? Huwag ka masyadong ma-excite sa pagpapasalamat mo. That's an irony. Why? Because in truth, he was doing the opposite. He was not being as excited and grateful for the 100,000 bonus because he was expecting 150. And so instead of really being thankful, yeah, o nga, praise God. Pero alam mo, masama na loob dahil hindi 150 nakuha niya. And so I begin to now use the expression, wow, napaka-excited mo ah. Yan. And we've done that many times, right? No? That's an expression of irony. Or it can be the state of affairs or an event that seems deliberately contrary. Again, there it is. Deliberately contrary or opposite to what one would expect. Like, for example, no? One of life's little ironies is that those who are not wealthy, being more generous than those who are. That's an irony, because you would expect that those who are wealthy would be more generous. Of course, this is generally speaking. You would expect that those who are wealthy would be more generous, but in effect, no? Often it is those who are not wealthy who are more generous and who are more giving. That is, again, another irony, okay? So the Cambridge Dictionary defines it as a situation in which something which was intended to have a particular result has the opposite or very different result. Like, for example, the irony of the new tax system will actually burden those it was intended to help. I'm just reading a statement. I'm not saying that this is what's happening in our nation today, no? But you might find a headline where you will read that, or a news item where you will read that. The irony of it is that the new tax measure, which was meant to help every level in society, in truth will even burden more those that it was intended to help. What an irony, okay? So the result you're expecting from something actually is the opposite of what that something had brought, just like the new tax measure. Kala natin makakatulong, mas burdensome pa pala. Hindi ba? And many things like that are happening all over the world, even in our nation, no? Sana po ito pong Maharlika Fund, sana the intention for which they say they are approving this Maharlika Fund will really help our nation, no? At hindi po sana ito maging, as some people are fearing, maging isang source ng more corruption, no? In government, wag sana. Okay? So again, sana ang intention nito will be really for the good of our nation. Can you imagine what an irony it would be if this fund was used to further worsen our problems? Okay, so yan po ang irony. Amen? So in other words, brethren, irony occurs when actually what actually happens turns out to be completely opposite or different from what would be expected. Okay, from what would be expected. Wow, finally, meron na akong kotse. But guess what? Kung kailan pa nagka-kotse, doon pa palaging nalilate sa service. Amen? That's an irony. Buti pa nung walang kotse, palagi nandito na maaga. So now that you have a car, now ka pa nalilate. Diba? That is so ironic. Amen? So it's a complete opposite of what is expected. All right? Now, some of you might ask, why would I entitle this year's Christmas message The Irony of Christmas? Why? Because I believe, brethren, that the message of Christmas is filled with many infinitely wonderful ironies. Now, just plain common logic will tell you this is what we are supposed to expect. But then what God does, or what God has done in Christ, is completely something that is unexpected. Often the opposite of what we would expect. And friends and family, this is what I hope to show you. Not only in and through the passage that we will look at, but in the many other passages that I would connect to that passage. And it is my prayer that the Lord would use this message to produce fresh gratitude, fresh appreciation in our hearts for our Lord Jesus and for what He has done for us to save us. Fresh appreciation, fresh gratitude. That is my prayer. And part of that prayer really is this, that as you listen with all your hearts, at some points, at several points during the message, you would find yourself either saying, "Oh Lord, praise you." Or you would find yourself saying, "Lord, ang galing niyo talaga." Or you will find yourself saying, "Lord, thank you for being my God, for being my Lord." I pray that you will do that throughout this preaching. Because I really pray that this preaching will be an exaltation of God, will be an expository exaltation of our Lord and our God. And may all of this produce in us a joyful humility in being reminded that in spite of our being sinners, we are blessed recipients of the grace of God and will be forever recipients of God's grace. Sa totoo lang. No? And may this refresh us as it has continually refreshed me. So let's now dive into this, and I've entitled this section of the preaching, Rich to Poor, Poor to Rich, where I would be simply giving to you an overview of what we will be tackling. In the passage that I would like us to look at, the 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, written by Paul. You know this. This is a very beautiful and familiar passage. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. I remember preaching on this passage also for Christmas some 9 years ago, where I focused on the spirit of Christmas being the spirit of selfless giving. Kaya nga tayo nagbibigay din ng regalo pag Christmas, right? Because our gift giving is only a celebration of the gift that God gave to us in Christ. And so I had preached on this, that the spirit of Christmas is really the spirit of selfless giving, where the Lord Jesus was the epitome of selfless giving. As seen in His incarnation, kanyang pangangatawan tao, and seen in His crucifixion, only so that we might become rich, spiritually rich. How many here are rich? Can you please raise your hands? Then you're not yet born again. How many here are rich? Eh, Pastor, sabihin nyo kung spiritually or... Hindi, wala akong problema yon. Hindi ho dapat issue sa atin yun eh. Amen? Because when you begin to delineate that, at some points, you will forget how truly rich you are. Because if you're spiritually rich, then you're truly rich. Amen? Pero pag hinati po natin yan, define mo. Kasi kung materially rich, hindi ako rich. Okay, pero pag sinama spiritually rich, magtataas ako ng kamay. How ironic, right? Masaya ba? Hindi. Kung spiritually rich ka, feeling rich ka. Kahit hindi ka mayaman sa mata ng mundo, rich ka na eh. And that's true wealth. So how many of us here are rich? Ayon, tingnan mo, mga mayayaman. Sabi, meron pong iba mga churches, sinasabi nila, yung guiding light, church yan ng mga mayayaman. Anong sagot natin? Amen! Amen? Ayan po. Now, this in turn, if you would recall that message, this in turn should motivate us, undeserving recipients of His grace, to imitate our Lord, to become selfless givers of His grace as well. Amen? No? Yung po yung pinaka-message noon in my first treatment of 2 Corinthians 8, 9. Now, for this Christmas, I hope to give this passage a different treatment. So just as a quick background to this letter, which was written by Paul, the purpose of this letter, the purpose of this letter was threefold. Allow me to just summarize this quickly to you. In chapters 1 to 7, Paul wanted to express joy at the favorable response of the church to his ministry. He spent 7 chapters in expressing his joy to the favorable response of this church to his ministry. Even his ministry of rebuking them. Now, here we would see 2 Corinthians. In truth, this is his third letter to the Corinthians. Somewhere here in this letter, he mentions a second letter, a severe letter, that he was afraid would so break the hearts of the people that they would not be encouraged. But the beautiful thing is, that's why he spent 7 chapters on this, was that he was just so joyful that he responded to a severe rebuke in the way that he had hoped. And then in chapters 8 to 9, he wrote this letter for another reason, to remind the believers of their commitment to the offering for the poor Christians in Judea. Now, if you would recall, the early church began in Israel, in Judea, in Judah. Diyan nag-umpisa ang unang iglesia. And because they lived in Jewish territory, the Christians early on were persecuted by their own peoples. The number one persecutors of the early church were fellow Jews. And you know this, I've given this in many backgrounds, in many book backgrounds. That time, once you became a Christian, your business will suffer. You could lose your employment because they would find out that you were no longer a Jew. You are now one of those called Christians. And so the church in Jerusalem was a very poor church. And that's why when Paul went out on his missionary journeys and established churches, one of his burdens was to ask these churches to send support to the poor Christians in Judea. And he spends two chapters in this, chapter 8 and chapter 9. And then in chapters 10 to 13, here you will see Paul wrote to defend his apostolic ministry. Okay? Because if you read from chapters 10 to 13, you will know, you will see that he was defending his ministry as an apostle because he was coming under attack. He was coming under attack, especially by fellow Jews. Ito po yung mga Judaizers. Especially by some Greeks who loved beautiful and flowery language. Mga orators po kasi ang mga Greeks noon. So kung ang language mo, hindi ganun kabulaklak, mabulaklak, they look down on you. If they saw that you were not naturally an orator, they would look down on you. And so those chapters, he defended his apostolic ministry. So the passage for our study, 2 Corinthians 8, 9, brethren, is found in the section, chapter 8 and chapter 9, as I had mentioned, where Paul sought both to remind and encourage the Corinthian believers to continue in their support for the poor Christian church in Judea. Ito po ang ating message dyan na matatagpuan sa section pong ito. Because the Corinthian church was a wealthy church. It was a very blessed church materially and in terms of gifting as well. And so, as you turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 8, 9, you will find quickly that the first 8 verses of chapter 8, Paul used the gracious and generous spirit of giving of the poor Macedonian church, chapter 8, hindi chapter 9, as an inspiring example of earthly generosity. Quickly take a look at the first 8 verses of chapter 8. Because there, he was saying that the Macedonian church, even though they were poor, begged him to receive their offering for the poor Christian church in Judea. Even though they were poor. And Paul magnified this. He exalted them for this as a matter of example. And there already you will find the irony. Kung sino pa yung poor church, sila pa ang lavish na nagbibigay. It was the poor church in Macedonia who did not need to be reminded to support the poor church in Judea. In fact, they would beg Paul. Apparently, Paul probably would be tempted not to receive their offerings. Why? Because mahirap na church kayo. Baka kailangan nyo to. But no, they would beg Paul. No, please, allow us to participate through our giving. Now let me ask you, how many of us here have been faithful in our giving? Regardless of the situations we might find ourselves in. We don't make an issue of whether ang kinita ko maliit o ang kinita ko malaki. Pag may natanggap ka sa Panginoon, you still make the commitment, Lord, since this has come from you, I give it back to you. Because you've called me to support the work of the gospel through the local church. So we don't make conditions. Pastor, kasi Lord, yung aking yung kinita ko this month, hindi kasing laki ng kinita ko last month sa business ko. Ang kinita ko this month, ganito lang kaliit. So pwede po ba? Exempt muna, pass muna ako, pass muna. No. And the irony of this poor church giving should minister to us and encourage, rebuke, and inspire us. So here we see that this Macedonian church was an inspiring example of earthly generosity. And he continues this. He continues this. So that when we reach verse 9 of chapter 8, kasi sa chapter 9, he gives instructions na, some principles regarding giving in chapter 9. But here in chapter 8, he's now exhorting them. In verse 9, he turns the Christians' attention or the Corinthians' attention to Christ as the ultimate model and expression of divine magnanimity or generosity. That's what it means to be magnanimous. You're very generous. So first he used an earthly example to inspire, and now he points the Corinthians to the ultimate example of generosity, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what an example Jesus is, as we would see in verse 9, as we had read earlier. Amen? Amen po ba? So wala ho tayong lusot eh. We have earthly examples of generosity. And look at who he used. He used the poor church. I'm reminded of when the Lord once with his disciples came to the temple and the Lord pointed to a poor woman who gave her two coins, her last two coins. And as far as the Lord was concerned, that woman gave more than everybody else had given. It made the disciples wonder for a while because they were looking more in terms of amount. No, the Lord said, she gave more because she gave out of her poverty while the others are giving from their surplus. Ibang dating po noon. I remember there was a preaching once where I had mentioned that God does not look at so much what we give, but what we hold back. Tinitignan po ng Panginoon, hindi po yung ating binibigay, kundi kung ano po yung ating kinikimkim. And I pray that would somehow speak to us, especially if we've not been faithful in giving to the Lord. Sa totoo lang. And so here in verse 9, Jesus is that ultimate model and expression of divine magnanimity or generosity. And here we see, brethren, that it is in Jesus' selfless giving that we will see the divine ironies that magnify our glorious salvation in Him. Dito natin makikita. Ito pong mga ironies pong ito. So read again with me. Chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through you, or so that you through his poverty might become rich. Now please notice that this verse begins with the motivation for what the Lord Jesus did in the next part of the verse. What was the motivation for what Jesus did? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And notice that the first part of verse 9 connects it to the first 8 verses of chapter 8 because he starts it with the word for. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's as if he was connecting it to his exhortation on giving. Because you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthening his point. For you know, alam nyo naman ang grasa ng Panginoon eh. Alam nyo naman. And so what? Okay na po ba? Are you done? Please look at that one more time before, for those of you who are taking notes, just look at that one more time. And so what Paul was about to describe that Christ did for the Corinthians, and by extension, all true believers, was motivated by nothing else but His grace. Nothing else. Not motivated by anything in us, but in fact, in spite of us. He did what He did. Okay? Mahalaga po ito. What motivated God in sending Christ, what motivated Christ to obey God unto the cross is nothing but His grace. It's not anything in us. And that's why it is, listen, it is only biblical Christianity that teaches this kind of grace and magnanimity from God. All other faiths all teach salvation by works, by being a good person, by following tradition. Only true biblical Christianity teaches that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Keyword alone. Walang dagdag. Walang dagdag. And really, when you look at this in terms of the doctrine of our election, it's so consistent. That's one thing wonderful about God. He's so consistent. From before the foundation of the world, He chose us whom He will save. Before creating creation, before you and I were born, He had already chosen to save those whom He wanted to save. And what is the motivation of that? You know this. It's not because He looked down the corridors of history and He saw what kind of good person or good works each of us would do. No. Because since all of us here are sinners, the Lord also knew how many sins all of us would commit throughout our lives. And yet, He chose us. Those who are believers in Christ. His choosing is based on grace. And so, His sending of His Son, the incarnation which we are celebrating in Christmas, the only motivation for that is His grace. And what Jesus did here on earth, the motivation for that also is His grace. And the next part of the verse tells us what Jesus did because of that motivation. That though He was rich, yet for your sake, He became poor so that you, through His poverty, might become rich. Notice the ironies present here. Though He was rich, yet He became poor. Would you expect that of someone with earthly riches? Voluntarily willing to be poor, to become poor, to give up all his riches? That you, through his poverty, might become rich. We who were spiritually in poverty, in truth, spiritually dead, would become rich. We who did not deserve to become rich were made rich. Amen? Really, that's the irony of Christmas. God who was offended is the God who was willing to pay so that those who offended Him might be saved and might become His children and might inherit eternal life. Those who rebelled against Him would live with Him forever in beautiful and perfect eternity. That is the irony of Christmas. Kung sino pa yung na-offend, yung pa ang magbabayad ng utang nung nang-offend. So if I were to summarize the irony of Christmas, that is what it's all about. When it should be us who should be paying for our sins, God chose to pay for our sins himself. Because he knew that no matter what we did, we would always fall short of his glory because of our sinfulness. So let's dive now into this verse. It's such a beautiful and rich verse. And so what I've decided to do was to divide this into two other parts, the first part of which I'd entitled Christ as Man from Rich to Poor. Read now the second part again of verse 9, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. Now, to appreciate the ironies in this passage, allow me to paint to you through several other passages the infinite contrast, first of all, between Christ's wealth as eternal God, that though he was rich, sabi nga dyan, contrast that with this poverty when he became fully man. He became poor. When he became man, as we are, and yet without sin, as the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 4. So within even these passages that I will bring out now, I pray that you will further see the depth of the irony of what God did to us. So yun po ang gusto ko munang makita po natin. Christ as man becoming poor from being rich. And to do that, allow me first to magnify through some passages just how rich Christ was before he came down here on earth. And here are just a few truths that describe to us the height of the riches that belong to Jesus Christ our Lord. First of all, he is God and Creator. He is God and Creator. Now please open your Bibles with me to Colossians chapter 1, 15 to 17. I'd like to encourage you to take down these verses because can I advise you to do this during this week? Maybe you can go back to these verses each day in your quiet time and meditate on some of them. In Colossians 1, 15 to 17, there we read, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Verse 17, he is before all things and in him all things hold together. Now, what does it mean when you create something? What is your relationship to that which you had created? That which you created belongs to you, right? Since he is the creator of all things, then all things belong to him. Because he is God and creator. In Hebrews chapter 1, let's continue to magnify the Lord. And please magnify the Lord here with me. Every now and then I pray that you will whisper praise or worship or thanksgiving to the Lord. Hebrews 1:3. I've also taught on this passage in the past. He is the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature. Yung his pujaan is God the Father and upholds all things by the word of his power. That last his is the Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks of the deity of Christ. How rich was Christ? Well, he was God and creator. And as I had mentioned earlier, guess what? As God and creator, he owns everything. Now open your Bibles with me to Psalm 50. Read with me verses 10 to 12. And here the immediate context of verses 10 to 12 is the Lord really pointing out to the Jews that, you know what, I don't need your sacrifices if you're just going to continue to disobey me. What is more important to me is your obedience than the sacrifices that you give, thinking that that could make up for your disobedience. And that's why here, look at the Lord's boast here. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird of the mountains and everything that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all it contains. Talk about riches. Even the richest person on earth cannot make this boast. What else? Before the incarnation, Christ enjoyed perfect fellowship with the Father. Look at how rich he was. Again, these are just a few listings of passages, okay? In John 1, verses 1 and 2, we would read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." He enjoyed everything that the Father enjoyed, because first, he was with God as the Son, and as the Son, he was God. Talk about riches. What else? He is glorious. The Lord Jesus Christ is glorious. Open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, verses 3 to 5. These first part of verse 5. "And he who was sitting was like a jasper stone and a sardius in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, like an emerald in appearance. Around the throne were 24 thrones. And upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their heads. Out from the throne come flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder." It speaks of the glory of God, the glory of the Son. Now, please turn with me to John 17, verse 5, because I would like to connect that vision in Revelation 4 to our Lord Jesus Christ himself. In his prayer to the Father in John 17, verse 5, look at his prayer. He says, "Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory I had with you before the world was." That's how rich our Lord was. Because he was utterly, absolutely glorious. How else was he rich? He was king. And he is king. Amen? In Revelation 19, verse 16, what a glorious description. And it speaks of the Lord coming down here to establish the millennial kingdom at the end of the tribulation period. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has written a name: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's not just king. He's King of Kings. Do you know that many of the ancient kings loved to use that title because of their empires? King of Kings. I think Nebuchadnezzar was had described himself once as a king of kings, or he was described by subjects as king of kings. How unworthy you are to call yourself a king of kings. Just because you became an emperor of many empires. The true king of kings is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's the Lord of lords as well. Though he was rich, this is just a glimpse of the wealth and richness of our Lord. He became poor. He became poor. So the passage in 2 Corinthians 8:9 tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. All his riches the Lord Jesus gave up by suspending his full use of them when He became flesh and dwelt among us. Isinantabi po niya ang lahat ng kanyang kayamanan, ang kanyang kaluluwatian. Even His omniscience, the full use of it, He has set aside. So that there were things that the Lord Jesus admitted, even the Son of Man does not know. Kasi nga, He became poor. If you look at Philippians chapter 2, 6 to 7, please turn there with me. Philippians 2, chapter 6 to 7. That passage tells us of the Lord who, although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself. Theologically, that is known as the Lord's kenosis, His emptying of Himself. Though He was rich, He became poor. And so by doing this, brethren, Christ became poor for our sake. For our sake. He gave up His riches for our sake, your sake, my sake. We who are sinners, we who have rebelled against Him, we who deserve hell. Would you, fathers, can all the fathers here raise your hands? Raise your hands, fathers. Would you be willing to give up all your wealth for the murderer of your son? This is nothing but amazing grace. And brethren, here are just a few passages that describe to us the depth of the poverty that Jesus embraced. Okay, do you see what I'm doing? First, I was exalting the greatness and vastness of His wealth and riches. And now we're about to describe the depth of His poverty. First, from God the Creator, He took on flesh and became as one of us. And of course, we know, yet without sin. Where do we see that? John 1:14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Diba? Connect mo yan sa verses 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was God. But then, in verse 14, He became flesh and dwelt among us. Go to Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 to 8. Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 to 8. Taking the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man. I'd also preached on that passage in the past. And that just does not say that Jesus simply looked like a man, but He was not really a man. He just looked like one, as some heretics throughout history had taught. No, when you look at that in the language, He fully became man. What else? When He became man, He lived as a poor man, ordinary in appearance. Ay, grabe. The most beautiful thing of all is our God, is our Lord. When we gaze upon the beauty of the Lord one day in eternity, it would eclipse the beauty of heaven itself. And yet when you read Isaiah 53 verse 2, look at the form of man that Jesus took. Isaiah 53 verse 3 rather, for He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face. He was despised, and we did not esteem Him. He looked so ordinary. Men would even hide their face from Him. Hindi sa pogi. Okay? Hindi sa pogi. did not look like Jim Caviezel. It did not look like Robert Powell, I think, was the first Jesus in the greatest story ever told. Sobrang guapo. No one would look at him. I'm sorry, I read the wrong verse. Verse 2. For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. Yun, yun. I read one verse later. Verse 2. Sa Tagalog version, hindi siya guwapo. Natitignan mo siya ulit. Wow, sino yan? Gagawin kong wallpaper ng desktop ko. In Matthew 13, verse 55, look at what the people said when they heard, is this not the carpenter's son? Minamata po nila. He lived as a poor man, ordinary in appearance. What else? He was despised and rejected by men, even by his own. And I read to you verse 3. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Kinahiya po siya. In fact, in John 1:11, John described the Lord in this way. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. Rinicheck pa siya ng kapwa niyang Hudyo. Again, that's so ironic, right? Because he was more received by the Gentiles than by his own people. Look at the irony there. What else? He died a most horrible death, a death he did not deserve. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, second part. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Look at that. Look at the emphasis of Paul here. He did not just die. He died by dying on the cross, which at that time was one of the most humiliating ways to die, if not the most humiliating. Dying on the cross was an execution meant only for criminals. And it was humiliating because you would hang on the cross for several hours, naked, mocked. And it took long in your suffering before you died. How else did he become poor? On the cross, he carried all our sin and therefore took all the punishment due us. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, you will read this. He, that's God, made him, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We're familiar with 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. Go back to Isaiah 53, verse 5, and allow me to read it to you from the NIV, which for me was a clearer translation. These, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. He carried all our sin and took all the punishment due us. And what else? Because he became sin on our behalf, God forsook him. God forsook him. Look at what happened in the last few moments before his death in Matthew 27, verse 46. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? For the first time, Jesus calls his Father, my God, not my Father. All throughout, he would call God, my Father. Here he calls him my God. Something happened. Because he became sin, God turned his back on him. And for that moment, that relationship to God as Father was broken. How else did he become poor? Because of his disgraceful death, the Jews intended Jesus to have a disgraceful burial along or among the thieves. Please correct that. Among thieves. Look at Isaiah 53 again, verse 9. His grave was assigned with wicked men. His grave was assigned with wicked men. And you know what makes this even more awesome, brethren? It's this. Please read this. And the Lord Jesus did and went through all this even before we came to surrender our lives to Him and accept Him as our Savior and Lord. Amen? Isn't that amazing? Huh? Bago pa natin sa tinanggap, bago pa natin sinuhong ang ating buhay sa Kanya, He already did all of this for us. Now, for me, that's an irony. Why? Because He had received nothing from us and yet He gave all to us. Even before we believed in Him and received Him, one of my most favorite verses in the Bible is Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates His own love toward us. How? In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Look at the magnanimity of the grace of our Lord. That is an irony here, as far as I'm concerned, because di pa nga tayo nagre-repent, binayaran na niya ating kasalanan. So that pag nagrepent tayo, tinatanggap lang natin ang kanyang binigay na. Amen? So that is Christ as man from rich to poor. Okay? Hang on here with me. Okay? Allow me to just extend a bit. Amen? Okay lang po ba? Ha? Kasi wala po ako next week eh. Mamimiss ko kayo. Okay, konti lang po ito. Is the Lord being magnified? Is He being magnified? So please continue to magnify Him with me. And so the last part basically is this. The believer in Christ, from poor to rich. And when you look at the last part of verse 9, we see the reason for why Christ did what He did. So that, this is the reason, so that you through His poverty might become rich. Brethren, words will not ever be enough to describe the vastness, the greatness, the magnificence of the implications of this part of the verse. Oh, if we only could comprehend the riches that we have in Christ, because He was willing for our sakes to be poor. If only we can truly comprehend. And that's why one of the most tragic ironies of all are Christians who decide to turn to the world instead of turn to God, who decide to exchange God for the world. It's one of the most tragic of ironies of all. And it's people like that who obviously do not meditate to try to comprehend what riches they have in Christ. Pagpapalit ang Panginoon para sa mundo, para sa palakpak ng tao sa mundo. Now, to help us appreciate this a little more, we need to be reminded of our poverty before Jesus came into our lives. And brethren, please take note of this. Every now and then, I think we need to be reminded of our poverty before Jesus came sa buhay natin. Amen? Amen po ba? Ha? Pakitignan po ninyo yung katabi. Dahil kung natutulog po yan, pakigisingin po ninyo. Paano mo natutulog? How can you sleep on this truth, right? We need to be reminded. If you don't want to take for granted how rich you are in Christ, you better remind yourself of how poor you were before He came into your life. And here are some verses that I pray will help. First of all, we were spiritually dead. That's how poor we were. In Ephesians 2:1, we would read, "You were dead in your trespasses and sins." No matter how alive people thought you were, or how you thought you yourself thought you were, in the eyes of God without Christ, you were dead. So how on earth can you pay for heaven if you were dead spiritually? That's how poor we were. Ephesians 2:1. Let's continue with Ephesians 2. We were following a wrong course and a wrong Lord. Look at verse 2. In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world. That yun ang sinusundan po natin eh. The course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. That's no one else but Satan. He was the Lord we were following. Aba, hindi, pastor, ha? Very religious ako na. No, no. If you are coming to God on your terms, not His, that's exactly what the devil wants. The devil is not interested in you believing in Him. He doesn't care as long as you don't believe in God. As long as you don't follow God. That's enough for him. And that's where we were. And I'm sure many of us have very colorful testimonies. What else? We were bound by our sinful nature with all its lusts and desires. Look at the first part of chapter 2, verse 3 in Ephesians with me. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind. You see, unbelievers think they're free. They don't want to become a Christian because when I read your Bible, madaming utos, I want to be free. So they think they're free. But in reality, if you look at verse 3 of chapter 2, you're not free. You are imprisoned by your lusts. You are imprisoned by your own desires. You only think you're free. But you're a prisoner of sin. We were bound by our sinful nature. And because of that, in the second part of verse 3, we were all objects of God's wrath and judgment and therefore were hell-bound. You were on the premium bus to hell. Look at the second part of verse 3. And were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Children of wrath. Objects of wrath. Ikaw ang nakatarget na makakatikim ng puot ng Diyos. Look, you're familiar with Romans 3:23 and 6:23, right? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. For the penalty, the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. We were hell-bound. Hebrews 9:27, inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, after this comes judgment. Wow, that's your prospect? You're trying to enjoy life here? But your prospect after you die is judgment? You're enjoying your few years of existence here on earth. That enjoyment will dissipate like a vapor when you're faced with eternal judgment before you.
Yun ang ipagpapalit mo.
That's where we were.
In fact, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 is a...
Here we see another one. Please forgive me. I'm getting a little confused here with my notes. We were slaves of sin, deceived into thinking that we had our own free will.
Can you imagine how pathetic that would be? You thought you were free when in reality you were not.
Romans 6:17, you were slaves of sin.
Before Christ, we were slaves of sin.
Kaya nga, one of the most pathetic songs, I'm sorry, which has become a classic really among Filipinos is that song, Sapagkat Ako'y Tao Lamang.
What? You're justifying the fact that you're a sinner?
Why? Because I'm human. You're right. You're right.
But you're a slave of sin.
Now, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 is such a fitting summary of what our condition was before Christ. You're still with me? Still with me? Please read that with me. Ephesians 2:12.
Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world.
Wow, what a description.
He was talking to the Ephesian believers here.
That's how poor we were, but praise God, through Christ's poverty, we had become rich. Through Christ's poverty, we had become rich.
Paki-off po ng telepono po ninyo kung kinakausap na kayo ng telepono ninyo.
Through Christ's poverty, we had become rich.
Now bear with me, please.
In Ephesians chapter 1, go back to chapter 1, in verses 3 to 14, is contained a glorious catalog of our riches in Christ.
Amen? Ayoko po matapos ito sa pagtingin natin kung gaano po tayo kahirap bago dumating si Kristo.
Now please bear with me by opening your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 1, and read. Read with your whole hearts and appreciate, save your every word from verses 3 to 14.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us. In all wisdom and insight, He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ. Things in the heavens and things on earth. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will, to the end that we, who are the first to hope in Christ, would be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who has given us a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of His glory. Wow! If you feel poor, read this verse. Read this passage. Read this. Repeat this to yourself over and over again.
And that's why in John 1:12, we are told that we are now children of God. We are no longer children of wrath, according to Ephesians 2:3. We are now children of God. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name.
Alam mo, grabe implications yan.
If you've not received Christ and His gospel, No matter how religious you are, you have no right to call Him Father. No right.
Antindi ho niyan. Pag hinimay po natin, antindi po niyan.
Oh, I love Romans 8, 15, 17. You want to feel rich again? In Romans 8, 15 to 17, we are told that the Holy Spirit testifies to the truth of John 1, 12. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ.
Kapatid, wala nang problema kahit na walang iniwan na mana sa iyo mga magulang mo. No problem.
Because in Christ, you are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ.
I promise you, none of us here has the mind enough to comprehend fully what that means, what that implies. Dagdag pa natin dyan ang 1 Corinthians 6:19, which describes the believer as a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in him.
Temple of the Spirit of God. Connect that to Galatians 2:20, which talks to us about Christ's indwelling us. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Brethren, imagine the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords living in you. And let me tell you this, that is not figurative. That is literal. That is why we are transformed from glory to glory every day, because we have the Spirit of Christ in us. Without the Spirit of Christ, we cannot change. And you only receive the Spirit of Christ when you come to Him in repentance and faith and get born again. Imagine the King of Kings and Lord of Lords living in you. And here you are sometimes envying the rich who don't have Christ. What an irony, right? Brethren, I could go on and on. Because Scripture is replete, it's full of many more similar verses with ironies that describe to us the glorious blessings we have in Christ. And you know what? You know what? I'm wrapping this up. And you know what? Nothing that we will face in these last days could ever take these away from us. Nothing. Kaya kapatid, anuman harapin natin, huwag na huwag mong iisipin na bumitaw sa Panginoon. Huwag mong ipagpapalit kung sino ka at anong meron ka kay Kristo para lang hindi ka ma-persecute ng mundo. Don't give up what you have in Christ only so that the world would not persecute you. And friends, all this because the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ brought Him from heaven down here to earth, so that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you, through His poverty, might become rich. How wondrously glorious our salvation in Christ is. Amen? Amen po ba? And that is what we celebrate. As I mentioned last week, when we celebrate the Incarnation, yes, glimpse at the Belen, but go further, go beyond that, go to the cross, go to the resurrection, go to the glorification of Christ. Amen po ba? How many here are rich? But don't borrow money from me, I don't have that. But I'm rich. Amen? Praise God. Brethren, may you all have a Christ-filled and Christ-focused Christmas. And though I won't be here next week, I'll be here in spirit with you as you celebrate. Maligayang maligayang Pasko po sa inyo. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for this message, Lord. I pray that you administered to us. And even now, Lord, bless our sharing. It's important, Lord, that we share. Because we might minister to others and others might minister to us as well. Paunlakan niyo lang po ako, mga kapatid. Please find now a partner. And just share with that person what ministered to you the most sa message ngayon. Huwag po asawa ninyo, huwag po anak ninyo, huwag po magulang ninyo. Huwag po kapatid ninyo. Sige na po. Doesn't matter kung lalaki, babae kayo, doesn't matter. Paris-paris lang po so that you have enough time. Okay po. I'd like to ask all of you to please rise. Okay po. Pagpasensyahan po ninyo ako kung nag-extend po ako na mas mahaba pa dito sa ating pong mensahe pong ito. I just felt that this message was so important in exalting the Lord. And that's what we need to do more in our lives. Just continue to exalt Christ in our lives and to be reminded of who we are and what we have in Him. And that will impact every area of our lives. Every area. Sa totoo lang po, dun ho tayo kinukulang eh. Kaya tayo nagkakasala, kaya tayo nagiging fleshly, minsan in our relationships. Dahil doon mo tayo nagkukulang eh. We have to set the Lord ever before us. Amen? So, I know we've extended a bit more. Can we just sing a song of worship to Him? Amen? So let's just sing that song, O Holy Night. Hallelujah, O God. O Holy Night.
O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and a thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, O
earth to reverse time.
Lord God.
Let not the promised Son remain a stranger. In reverent worship, may Christ your adore.
Eternal life.
Eternal life is theirs who will receive it with grace and peace. Their lives he will adore.
Thank you, Lord. Fall.
Fall on your knees.
Receive.
Receive the gift of heaven. Oh,
Jesus. Thank you for our salvation in Him. Thank you, Lord, that you were willing to become poor so that through your poverty, we who were poor might become rich. We don't deserve you, Lord, but truly we need you forever. And Lord, as we celebrate Christmas, Lord God, may the truth of who we are and what we have in you, may the truth of who you are in our lives and who you are in the whole universe, just fill our hearts and cause us to thank you, to worship you, to glorify you. Thank you for our salvation, Lord. I pray that we would make time, each one of us, set aside time to be with you, the celebrant of the season we're celebrating, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, as we give to your work, please help us to give, Lord, joyfully, generously. Help us to give, Lord, with love from our hearts for you and for your work here in Guiding Light. Help us to give both with faith and the desire to obey you, Lord God. Because we know, Lord, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And guide us, Lord, in our giving as we go forth from this place, Lord. Let your joy always be our strength, Lord God. May your glory be ever before us, Lord God. We thank you, Lord. Your blessing rest upon each one now who attended this service, both online and especially here in the church, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord. We give you honor and glory in Jesus' name, and we say amen and amen. Hallelujah. 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 God bless po. Magbatian po tayo ng maligayang Pasko muli sa isa't isa.